all here this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, and thank you for taking the time to come here, and pray that you would have your hearts and your minds open to hear the message that is prepared. And it took us a little while to get it up and going, but I know that our brother Jim has prepared something for each of us. So I'd ask that you give him your attention, and I give you our brother and pastor Jim Yates.
Thank you, Adam. Good morning to each and every one of you. I have to admit I'm a little bit out of my comfort zone with the technology up here, because every time that I try to do something like this, it doesn't quite work the way that I would like for it to work, like now. Still may need some technical help. Come on, Haley. Up here it goes. Just going to be slow. Slideshow. Okay. As many of you know, my wife and I had the opportunity to take what I call once-in-a-lifetime vacation, where we had an opportunity to go to another country, even though they spoke English. It was a change for me. And while we were driving around looking at the sites, and I do have some pictures here, this is not a travel log. An interesting thought came to my mind, and I mentioned it to Kim as we were driving and looking at the warning signs on the road. This is much like our life. You know, it's in English, and it's in a picture form, but do I really know what it means? And so I started looking at these signs, and I started thinking of the gospel of Christ and the teaching and the commandments that God gives us. It's in plain English, but in our mind, do we translate it into what God intended? So, I went to put this program together. This was our to show that we were indeed there. This is Cape Regina. It's on the furthest northern tip of New Zealand. And after we left the White House, or the lighthouse there, excuse me, it is a White House, but it's a lighthouse. This was the sunset that we got to watch. Thing that was interesting about this, in talking about God's creation, is this is where the Tasman Sea and the Pacific Ocean meet. And you figure with two big bodies of water that there would be one flow, like two rivers coming together to flow. But it's not. They're in battle, one with another. Much like our human nature is battling against the teachings of Christ. You would stand on this point and you would see the waves coming in on the Pacific Ocean side, not big waves, maybe 2 feet waves coming in, which would be behind Kim off to the right of the lighthouse there, and off to the left, on the left, and off to the right is the Tasman Sea. There'd be 2 foot waves coming in. And here they'd come, and they'd hit and collide into one another. And then, force of nature, something has to give. Pretty soon you see a big eddy of the waters flowing together. One, the blue of the Pacific Ocean, and the one that was kind of the greenish color of the Tasman Sea. Man's nature and God's nature, man's thinking and God's way, we have to come together with an understanding. And they're not necessarily all going to be God's way. Or excuse me, man's way. It's going to be turned into God's way. Last picture of us together. This is at the top of Fox Glacier. We took a helicopter ride up there. This is the top of the Alps of New Zealand. The helicopter had runners that were about 4 feet up off the ground. When you stepped up in the helicopter, it was 4 feet above the ground. It had sunk that far into the snow. In fact, when Kim and I walked out there, we both sunk up to our waist in snow. And underneath of it is the bluest ice you've ever seen. Beautiful, God's creation. And helicopter blades are still running, by the way. He didn't shut it down. After we took that beautiful trip up there to see that, we came down and we walked up in the lower right-hand corner. You see the snout of the glacier. But what didn't show up is the blue of the ice. And it was beautiful, beautiful colors. I would like to turn into Isaiah, the 55th chapter. And I've kind of already mentioned God's way and man's way. It's a very common scripture. I know I use it a lot. Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 11. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. When can he be found and when is he near? As long as we're breathing, he can be found. And he's as near to us as we allow him to be. He comes to near to us as we want him to be. That is our free decision. It's up to us to decide how close we want God to be to us. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will give mercy unto him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my way, saith the Lord. The difference between us. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are the ways, my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow of heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my words be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. The scriptures tell us what God intends for us. It shows us a way that he wants it to be. And it doesn't always seem clear to us. But God is willing to work with us and to strive with us and to get us to understand what he is trying to do for us. Turn over to Isaiah, the first chapter, the 17th through the 19th verses, for those that are following along. Wise counsel from Isaiah. It says, learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God is willing to work with us. He's done so many things to try to help us along, just like these signs are. Some of them are very easy to understand. I don't have a pointer, so I'm going to step down. I could probably ask people, even the ones that don't have a driver's license, what's this sign mean? Windy road. What about this one? Slippery. Slippery when wet, slippery when frost, slippery when snow, slippery when dirty. What about this one? Say what? No parking. No parking. You can't park there. What about these? Bottom one's real simple, isn't it? Wrong way. God has been trying to tell us and to teach us how to go and not go the wrong way. What about this one? Warning. There is a sign coming up that's going to tell you what to do. This one. I go, took me about four of them to figure out what it meant. Don't ski here. No. The white one with the black mark means do not enter. Now, why didn't they just put up wrong way? But no, they put up do not enter. The blue sign, one way. And when you're driving in any place, our brothers that have driven in countries that drive on the other side of the road, I'll be not say the wrong side of the road, but the other side of the road, learn real quick. You have to go a certain way. And to help me choose the right way, every time we got in the motorhome that we rented and we started driving, I would hear a voice next to me go, left, left. Drive on the left side of the road. Watch your left turns. Left, left. After about a day and a half of that, I started echoing it because it truly helped. Left, left. How about God's way? God, God. There's no other way that man can receive repentance of their sin. They must do it God's way. Acts 4. With the lighting up here, I can't read it off my screen. In Acts 4, Peter and the brother had healed a man, and now they're sitting in a trial. They're being judged. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." So he wasn't just talking to the common people. He was talking to the people that had the decision of life and death over him. But he was bold because he received the power of the Holy Ghost. Bold to stand and to testify in a dangerous place concerning his Lord and Savior. If we this day be examined for the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he was made whole? And that was their question him. I have a feeling that those rulers and those elders and those scribes that were sitting there judging them already knew what was going to come out of their mouth. But they were putting pressure on them to see what they were going to do. Be it known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, he just threw it right back at them. They were trying to make him squirm. I'll bet you they were sweating bullets. Whom God has raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught by your builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other way. There's a lot of teachings out there. There's a lot of things that people are professing. But the very scriptures that have stood the test of time tell us there's no other way. Peter stood and testified unto his judges. There was no other way in which men can be saved. Mosiah, the Book of Mormon, page 220. Another witness, another writer that God has touched. King Benjamin is speaking. Mosiah 2, starting with the 10th verse. And also the atonement which has been prepared from the foundation of the world, and whereby salvation might come unto him that should put his trust in the Lord, and should be diligent in keeping his commandments. And continue in the faith even unto the end of this life. I mean the life of this mortal body. I say that this is the man who received salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world. For all mankind, which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, or who are, or whoever shall be, even until the ends of the earth, of the world, and this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation save that which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby men can be saved, except the conditions which I have told you. Believe in God. Believe that he is, that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that men doth not comprehend all things which the Lord comprehendeth. And again, believe that he must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourself before God, and to ask with the sincerity of your heart that he should forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. It is not okay just to say a prayer to believe. You must keep the commandments of God. You must forsake those sins and repent of them and put them far away from you. I like to read commentaries on the scriptures. I disagree with a lot of them. But I find them very thought-provoking. And I compare what they taught and what they thought along the lines of the scriptures. And Henry makes an interesting statement about repentance. It says, we cannot expect our sins should be pardoned unless we repent of them and turn from them to God. If no repentance, no remission. You can't claim salvation and redemption and continue to walk the lifestyle that you walked before you called upon Christ's name. It's impossible. It cannot be done. hopes of the pardon of sin upon repentance should be a powerful indication to us to repent. This is the first and great argument. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So repentance is not something new. The scriptures taught of it. Commentaries of old wrote of it. It has been today that people are trying to make it slack and to change what was required. Put the warning sign up here, along with the signs that say one way. Because there is no other way. We can fight against it. We can be like the Pacific Ocean and the Tasman Sea and constantly butt up against it. But at one point, you're going to have to decide to reason with God and come to His understanding. You can't force a positive or a north pole of a magnet and a south pole of a magnet. You can force them together, but as soon as you turn loose of them, they're not going to stay together. So is our mankind in front of God. We're going to have to change. Matthew, the third chapter. One of those changes is that we're going to have to understand that we're going to have to do things that may seem contrary to us. The other day I had a chance to speak to a lady out front, and she asked me about our beliefs and how do you become saved. And I said, first you must be baptized. She said, oh, no. You have to, all you have to do is say a prayer. I said, that's not in the scriptures. That is not in the scriptures. But following after Christ and being baptized is in the scriptures. Here in Matthew, the third chapter, starting with the 13th verse, we read of the baptism of Christ and the importance of keeping God's commandments. Then came Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? John knew the importance of being baptized. He knew what Christ had to offer. But Christ knew that he had to keep his Father's commandments in the flesh. And Christ answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Even in the end, John the Baptist understood that he had to keep God's commandments as well. That he couldn't change anything that was set by God before him. To continue, and when Jesus went down and he was baptized and went straight away out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in which I am well pleased. In the Book of Mormon, we read of a prophecy of this taking place. In 2 Nephi, on page 161. Second Nephi, the 13th chapter, the 6th through the 15th verses. Nephi had prophesied unto his brothers, and now he was talking to them and teaching them more. And he says this, "Wherefore I would that ye should remember that I have spoken unto you concerning the prophet which the Lord showeth unto me, that should baptize the Lamb of God, which should take away the sins of the world. And now with the Lamb of God being holy, should he need to be baptized by water to fulfill, and now if the Lamb of God, he being holy, should have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness. Oh, then how much more need we, have we, being unholy, to be baptized, yea, even by water? And I would ask of you, my beloved brother, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness in being baptized by water, know ye not that he was holy? But notwithstanding, he being holy, he showed unto the children of men that according to the flesh he humbled himself before the Father, and witnessed unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments." That he would be obedient. Now, there's a lot of talk out there about works. And I've even heard people say that they can't believe James because he talks of works. And being baptized is considered a work. But if they're going to be a Pharisee and say that, then isn't saying a prayer a form of work? Aren't we just changing one for the other? But God said, do this. It may seem foolish to the children of men to be dunked in water. But if it's done in the right mind, it is keeping the commandments of God. He commanded it. Go down and be baptized in water. Wherefore, after he was baptized in water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove. And again, it showed unto the children of men the straightness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which he should enter, he having set the example before them. And he said unto the children of men, follow thou me. Follow thou me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus, say we shall be willing to keep the commandments of the Father? And the Father said, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost, like unto me. Wherefore follow me, and do the things which ye have seen me do. We've read an example of what the Holy Ghost can do for you, what it did for Peter, the man that denied Christ, but who repented and then stood to testify of him. Christ in John says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Going to be able to pick and choose those commandments? That's what man would like to do. Take the easy ones. Pick the easy ones. Don't want to do the hard ones. Don't want to do the ones that will make me seem less of a man or less of a woman, that will make me become humble. But yet that's what God wants of us. A humble individual with a contrite spirit and a broken heart. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, 12 through 14, and then 21 to 23. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Why? Why is it few that will find it? Main reason? Because it's contrary to man's thinking. They don't want to do the things that I mentioned before about humbling themselves and to keeping God's commandments. After all, these books were written over 2,000 years ago. They don't pertain to today. We're smarter. We're better educated. But we aren't talking about the education of mankind. We're not talking about being smart and intelligent. What we're talking about is being humble and keeping God's commandments. Back in the Book of Mormon, as another witness, 3rd Nephi, page 642. 3rd Nephi, the 6th chapter, verses 25 to 32. Christ speaking, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be who go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be that find it. Beware of false prophets who come unto you in sheep's clothing, but be aware they are ravening wolves. Those false prophets and those ravening wolves are those that will tell you to do anything that is contrary to the scriptures. Or to tell you, well, we know it's written, but we don't believe that that's what they meant. That is one of the things that is the greatest thing about the Book of Mormon being the added witness, where God taught other people to write His laws down. So when people start changing the scriptures of the Bible, which we've had longer, we can go back and go, no, this is what the scriptures say. That change is wrong. That teaching is wrong. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, good trees bringeth forth good fruit, but corrupt trees bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many marvelous works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know how clear this picture is for you. I was hoping that it'd be extremely clear. But the writing is kind of busy. That is a subtropic rainforest. I couldn't find the picture that I really wanted. But you can see those trees. They're nice and green. They're pretty. The place that I had in mind that I was trying to find, if you'd walked through those trees, you'd have found a grove of avocados, a good fruit. You had to look for it. You had to look at all the things that were being thrown in the way to find that good tree. The one that gave good fruit. So it is with our spiritual life. We have to work through all that is thrown out there in our way to find our direction. How would you like to follow that sign up in the upper corner? That was not a picture of a sign I saw, thank goodness. We happen to find that as a New Zealand sign. But I would say good luck. Especially if you're trying to learn to drive on the left side of the road. Left, left. Broad is the way. Easy to travel. The freeway, 6 lanes. Boy, you can zoom up them here, there, everywhere. No problem. Is the way that God wants us to go concealed? No, not really. It's not hidden from us. We have to be wanting to look for it. We have to look for that exit that will take us in the right direction. We have to look for the road sign that tells us where we want it to go. Luke 13. Christ has been teaching, and he's on his way to Jerusalem, and it reads in the 22nd verse, and he went through the cities and the villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. They missed the exit. Christ told them over and over again, and he's telling us in the scriptures over and over again, the way in which we must go, the way that he wants us to choose. But he's given us our free agent to choose how we want to. We can choose to take the broad way. We can choose to take the one in the upper corner and be thoroughly lost. That decision's up to you. Or we can try to make sense of this sign. A lot of information out there. Second Nephi. Page 110. Verses 6th chapter, verses 79 to 82. Oh, then, my beloved brother, come unto the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Remember that his paths are righteousness. His paths. There are a lot of interesting places on this sign that tell you how far you are away from places. From London, from New York, 18,958 kilometers from London, standing right there. 15,008 kilometers from New York. 1,401 kilometers from Cape Regina, where the first picture was taken. Where do you want to choose to go? What direction do you personally want? Do you want to put a sign up there that says, to redemption and salvation and a life with Christ, destination, heaven, around the corner? Behold, the way of man is narrow, but it leadeth in a straight course before him. And the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel, and he employs no servants there. And there is none other way, save it be by the gate, for he cannot be deceived, for the Lord God is his name. The gate. The only way to get to the kingdom of heaven is to go through the gate that's called baptism. John chapter 10. Verses 1 through 9, Christ speaking. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. There is a way to get in. There's only one way to get in. You can't climb over the fence. Tell you, if in New Zealand you climb over the fence, be prepared to get shocked because they believe in electric fences. But God set the way. He opened up the gate and laid down the path. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opened it, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. In our path, in our journey, we're going to run across many hazards. We're going to run into things that are going to try to derail us from keeping the path that we've chosen if you've chosen Christ. We have the slippery road. We have something that blocks our vision. In New Zealand, they chip seal their roads. And you'll be driving down and boom, all of a sudden all these little rocks will start flipping off. And you get broken windshields. That's what that sign right there means. That the road needs to be done. But what it does is it hits your windshield. It blinds you for a short period of time. You cannot see the path that you're on. You have the warning. God's word that will teach us and help us along our way. And you have brothers and sisters in the gospel to help you if you rely upon their word. What's this sign? The what? It's bridge. A one-way bridge. And when you pull up to the bridge, you will see a sign like this one or this one. And it'll tell you which has the right of way. God's word tells us the right way to choose. Who has the right of way to go? What about this one? This little dinky one right here. No. Lane ends. If you're in this lane, it doesn't merge, it stops. And there'll be a sign right here under it in X number of kilometers. So you better be moving over. God set this road. And he's telling you to move over and to get onto his road and to follow after him. And that one that stops is a tricky one. I'm very glad that Kim was in the back of the motorhome and didn't see what was in front of us. Luke 21. Verses 34 to 36. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of life, and so that the day cometh upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all the things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of God. We have to pray continually that when these things hit us, that God will help us through them. Psalms 25. Verses 1 through 5. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Who can lift up your soul? Only you. Only you can decide what you want to do. This picture happens to be the way out of the terminal in Auckland. This is where we're going to start our journey. Those doors right there are your way out of this building. But your journey started the day you decided to come to church. And only you can take control of your soul. Only you can decide which master you want to serve. David writes, "For my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the days." Isaiah 41. Verse 13. For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help you. Beautiful thought. Beautiful thing. And I was going to end there. That was going to be my last scripture. But I would like to read one more scripture, and it's in Acts. Acts 2, 38 to 41. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The promise is there. Christ taught the way, taught baptism. He taught to keep his Father's commandments. The apostles of old taught the same thing. Since we believe in an unchangeable God, the scriptures teach us that he's unchangeable. It's the same thing. The same gospel, the same scriptures, the same belief. The same road has been well worn by those who have gone before us. For those that have kept his commandments, and entered at the straight gate. And as beautiful as that picture is, I can only imagine the beauty of heaven. Thank you.